The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, assalamu alaikum and welcome back. On this episode, I am going to be talking slash reacting. I'm going to be talking slash reacting to the overturn of Roe v. Wade here in the United States. I know that a lot of my listeners are not from the United States, but you probably have seen it trending and heard about it. So as a Muslim woman, as a Muslim American woman, obviously it's, you know, made me feel a certain type of way. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about my thoughts on the whole thing, as well as react to Muslim Twitter's reaction to the whole thing, because it's been very interesting. And so there's been some good and some bad. Probably I'll focus more on like the things that were tweeted that I don't agree with, just to give my commentary on it. And I actually have been tweeting, not on this Muslim girl, but on my other Twitter, about, or like responding to some of those things that were being posted online. And I honestly am, I feel like this is going to be such a strange episode, because I really don't even know where to start. I feel like a lot I want to cover and a lot I want to talk about, and I kind of wish I had someone here with me, but I didn't want to pause the conversation or hold it off until I had someone with me. So for now, this will be maybe an ongoing conversation and something I bring up maybe with other people if it happens to pop up in our conversation. But, you know, a solo episode is also okay. So to get started, in the United States before I was born, about 50 years, abortion was legal in the United States through Roe v. Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood. And I won't go into the details of it because that would take up a large portion of the the historical aspects of it, although I know some people will argue that that has a lot to do with the way that the ruling was overturned. If you get into like the legality of it and you talk about the Constitution and go into details about what are our enumerated and unenumerated rights, there's a more sophisticated way to look at it. But I think that when you are being affected by a certain policy that takes away a certain right away from you, then you don't really care about the legality of it, or you don't care about the Constitution, because at that point you don't feel like that living document, quote unquote living document, is meant for you or meant to protect you. There's so many, I feel like it's just a multifaceted conversation where we have to talk about separation of church and state, talk about how this was primarily pushed and was primarily a fight for the Christian right, and going into how other religions and or non-religious people are being affected by this, and then just, you know, the overall humanity of women, the fact that there are states out there that want to completely ban abortion and are willing to put the mother's life at risk for the sake of, you know, an unborn child, and for her not to be able to have that decision or to make that choice. I think that there's been a lot of positive responses from, you know, obviously people, but also like companies who have come out and supported their female employees and are now providing, including the company that I work for, are now providing coverage for any woman seeking an abortion who lives in a state where it is criminalized and illegal, where she cannot, you know, have access to a safe abortion, that she can travel out of state, can also bring a companion, and that that those medical fees slash travel and lodging or wherever they would stay would be covered. And I think that that is such a great response from a lot of these companies that are doing that for women. I also want to mention that one of the misconceptions, and this kind of goes into a little bit of my frustration, I'm sure a lot of people's frustrations with some of these men online, these religious men and so-called scholars, talking about the conversation of abortion and, you know, the Muslim stance, do not understand or I think even know what are the reasons that most women seek abortions, and understanding that Muslim women are also capable of seeking abortions, needing abortions for medical conditions. And I just think, like, as a Muslim woman, it's so disheartening to see men not be empathetic or understanding, and maybe just because in their life, women in their life haven't been in that situation where they've needed it, and that they are just saying that we should celebrate this because Islam generally isn't pro-abortion. It's mind-boggling, because really what this is doing, overturning Roe v. Wade and the Supreme Court decision, what it's really doing is actually stripping Muslim women of their Muslim or their Islamic right to seek a halal, safe abortion. So to those men who are saying, and I have a tweet, I will go over those in a bit, for those of them that are saying that we should celebrate this as Muslims, and that they don't understand why Muslim women or Muslims are infuriated by this news, is astonishing to me. Like, they are stripping us of our rights as Muslims that our deen, our religion gave us, and we are actually going to have to abide by the very conservative, staunch, very right, extremist, really, Christian view. And again, I think it's sad to say, but I think it's because it's a woman's issue. Like, why would they care? They should care. I don't understand why they don't. Why aren't they reaching out to Muslim sisters and saying, hey, like, what are some cases that a woman would need, you know, an abortion? How is that affected? We're not, I think there's this misconception from a lot of people that women are just out there having unsafe sex. And I'm talking about in the general American discourse, but like going out there having unsafe sex and then carrying a baby till it's like 7-8 months, like almost popping out, and then they just decide, I really don't want to have this baby, so I'm just gonna abort it and kill it. And the reality of that is that it's not happening, and that late-term abortions account for only about, I think it was like less than 1% of abortions. And you can look up all this information. And I think that that's interesting, because I think I saw Pete Buttigieg, who was asked about this, I think, a while back, and he was talking about late-term abortion. Someone asked him, are you in favor of late-term abortions? And he said something that I thought was just so empathetic. And he said, do you know, like, by being in the third trimester, most mothers have already built a connection with their child. They have already, you know, bought a crib. They've already thought of a name. They've had this whole vision and dream of what their life would be like with this child, and they are given the most difficult news that something is wrong with the baby, and that they have to either risk themselves, or, you know, basically that the baby, or if the baby, for example, is having difficulties in the womb and it is dangerous to the woman, and they have to make that decision. And I imagine that that is probably one of the hardest decisions a woman, you know, a mother or mother-to-be would have to make. And yet, again, I think people have this very skewed perception that women are just like, never mind, I think I changed my mind, I don't think I want this baby anymore, it's kind of an inconvenience. And again, in Islam, early abortion is halal. There has to be hajats, or needs, and serious needs for those. We obviously, as Muslims, have a way of practicing, well, one, we aren't supposed to have premarital sex, and then if there is a reason to have an abortion early on, there needs to be a reason. But we do not believe life begins at conception. We believe in Islam, it's after the soul isn't blown into the body, basically the unborn child, until about 120 days, and then would it be considered technically, you know, killing a being? And at that point, it is only extreme reasons. And if there is a reason, for example, the mother's life is at risk, then she can ultimately make that decision. So again, I think I'm saying a lot, and I should probably save it for these tweets because I might be a little bit repetitive about what I'm about to say. So I went and I bookmarked a lot of these tweets, and I'll probably end up posting them on my Instagram because I want to see what people's reactions are. So let's start off with the one that really got me, you know, got me going. And I was like, I really think I'm going to like bookmark these and come back and talk about them. So someone said, every Muslim should be celebrating the fact that fewer babies in the womb will be brutally dismembered for the sake of convenience in America. Medical and extraordinary exceptions can be allowed, but otherwise abortion is clearly forbidden in Islam. Allah is our guide. Allah is our guide, and He set for us a guide. And this again is what I was speaking to earlier. Does he not realize that the extreme exceptions that he's talking about are no longer an option for women, some women in the United States? Does he not know that there's Muslim women who will die because they couldn't get an abortion in the state that they lived in? Because the law of the land, or the law of their land, of their state, is an extreme version and follows a different faith than our own. So that's one, and that was very, you know, disheartening to read. There was another one that said, the striking down of Roe is the right decision, morally and legally, from an Islamic perspective. Ignore the usual knee-jerking emotional reactions as well as the common talking points of if Islam isn't pro-life or pro-choice, Muslims will now be stripped of rights, etc. Meaningless. So, first of all, Islam is not pro-life and pro-choice. And I think a lot of people actually don't really associate themselves with those titles. Again, titles are misleading. I know that for a quick general explanation of like where you stand, you might say, well, I'm pro-choice or pro-life, but everyone is pro-life. Like, I myself am, you know, technically pro-life, you know, in the sense that I don't agree with just unreasonable abortions or late-term abortions that are unreasonable. I don't think anyone is for that. And again, it's this idea of like this very obtuse mindset that this is what's happening across America. I think, you know, the previous tweet said, fewer babies in the womb will be brutally dismembered in the sake of convenience in America. Look at the statistics. The statistics show that this is not what is happening. And this misconception that is constantly being thrown out there and being spread is very harmful towards women and women's reproductive rights, because at the end of the day, this is a healthcare issue. And women, there are so many reasons why women need abortions. And I'll go into that a little bit later, but if you have some sort of defect in your pregnancy, if it is an ectopic pregnancy, for example, in some states you will not be able to receive that abortion. Some women also have a miscarriage but never are able to carry out the miscarriage, and so that they need an abortion to release essentially that dead fetus, baby, whatever is inside of them. And there are a few states that ban, without the exception of health of the mother, which Islam allows, without exception of rape, without the exception of incest. I mean, this is disgusting. Like, you're okay with this all in the name of, well, you know, this extreme hyperbole view that these Muslim men are willing to just take and run with, knowing that it will be at the expense of their fellow Muslim sisters, of their fellow women community members, of the women that, you know, in their lives. And I hope that they are never in a position where they see the women in their lives have to face these types of issues and ever need this type of issue, this type of service. Speaking of men speaking on women issues. I am a little bit sensitive to that. I don't believe that men shouldn't speak about women's issues at all. I just think that if you're not going to seek out the if you're not going to seek out the experience from women, if you're not going to actually sit and listen and comprehend what they're trying to say, then I absolutely think that, like, I don't want to hear that person's opinion. Someone tweeted and said, I find it heartening to see many Muslim women defending their faith and the right of men to speak on what they might, many say are quote-unquote women's issues against other women infected with the most toxic strain of feminism. May God bless them and guide others to see the errors of their ways. And for this one, it kind of made me think about how quick certain men are to discuss and point these types of things out in women, yet when there's a lot of issues coming out of our communities because of, men not improving, you know, their attitudes or their actions at home, and men, you know, oppressing women, or men abusing women, or men harassing women, that kind of information you won't see discussed as much, because it's almost like, well, duh, it's obvious. But at the same time, it's still happening because it's not being talked about. So it is a little, again, bothersome and annoying when you just see that they're talking about all of these issues, and it's always an issue when a woman says she doesn't want to hear men's opinion, but then that same man won't have an opinion about other things that are more so related to them. Another tweet says, Islam isn't pro-choice, by the way. Abortions in Islam has a lot of regulations in place and can be carried out under special circumstances. Islam doesn't allow people to get abortions on a whim, so Muslims shouldn't be getting too caught up in what Western courts are passing. You kind of missed the mark, Billy. But we live in the West. I live in the United States, so I am absolutely going to get caught up in what the courts are passing. Again, especially because these laws are far more restrictive than what even Islam allows us. And again, I hope that none of these men ever have to be put in a situation where someone that they love, a woman in their life, is put in a situation where she needs an abortion and she can't get one because of this law. And then they come to realize that what Islam allowed her to do, the courts did not. So there's one that was I laugh at it now, but when I first read it, I was like, can you be any more stupid? I generally don't like to, like, call people dumb or stupid, but sometimes it just has to be said, because someone tweeted, and I think they ended up deleting it because there was a lot of quote retweets, and I was actually one of those people, so sorry, not sorry, but this is what this person wrote. And I really thought, I think they think that they were doing something, but this person said, if someone asks you if pork was haram, what would you say? Would you say, yes, it is? Or would you say, it depends on if you're starving in a jungle somewhere with nothing but a pig? This is not about pork. So this person, first of all, is comparing eating pork, which is 100% haram, and only an exception if you were literally dying of hunger and the only thing you had around you was pork, which is probably going to be unlikely in today's world. I'm not saying that it wouldn't be likely, but, like, it's just a very small chance. To a woman needing an abortion due to rape, due to incest, due to a miscarriage, due to an ectopic pregnancy, due to something is wrong with, you know, the child, or the child isn't going to make it. I personally know someone who had a baby. She ended up choosing to carry it full term, and that's another thing we're going to get into, choice, but I'll save that for after this. But she chose to have the baby, and they told her, when you have this baby, it will live for a few hours and it will die because the organs didn't fully form, and she couldn't do it. She couldn't have an abortion, and she was Muslim, and so she carried the baby full terms. The baby was born. The baby lived for a few hours and then passed away, and that she was at peace with that. And I think that that's that was her choice. And this guy, this genius, thought he was doing something by comparing something that would probably rarely ever happen to any one of us, or we probably don't even know someone who's had to have pork because they were starving in some like desert or like, you know, middle of nowhere, to an abortion that most women, if you ask, they know of someone, or they know of someone who knows someone who has needed an abortion, that under Islamic, you know, law would be considered halal. So
the future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know, I'm tired of the stupid metaphors. Whenever it comes to women, there's always these really stupid metaphors that don't make sense. And this is why we say we don't want men to speak on female issues, because you're taking a very ignorant and simplified idea, like a simple idea in your head of what you think abortion means, and you're just being okay with things changing for that particular group because of your very simple-minded idea, not realizing that subhanAllah, like the deen addresses a lot of things, and there's like sometimes not a consensus on, you know, like maybe the small details or whatever, and there's, you know, more conservative, more liberal views, but the deen, you know, provides us with some guidance and understanding, because alhamdulillah, like the deen was built for us to have rights over, you know, people and over this earth and over our own bodies, but we're not supposed to abuse it. So that was one tweet that I just thought was so silly. I'm going to read some other tweets. So someone said, as a Muslim, making abortion illegal is in fact a breach of freedom and religion. In Islam, a woman is not only permitted to get an abortion if the baby's putting her life at risk, but she's obligated to because it values her life of the pregnant person the most. Yes, this is exactly it, and exactly the point that we're saying a lot of people are missing. You know, it's one thing to obviously fear the fact that you're not going to have access to medical need as a woman, but the fact that all of this is stemming based off of someone else's religion and they are enforcing it on us, that is a huge problem to me, because I live in a country where there's supposed to be a separation of church and state. And as a Muslim, I want to be able to freely practice my religion. I don't want to bother other people. I don't want to enforce my religion on other people. You know, we welcome people into our religion. We welcome people to have questions. You know, we have our ways of doing da'wah, but we would not enforce our own laws into the general public. And that would just never be the case. Like, I was having a conversation with someone and I said, you know, it's probably because of all the trauma and just historical things that have happened in the past, I don't know, 20 years, 22 years now, you know, with 9/11 and just the way that the world turned on the Muslim community and how they, you know, painted us to the public, and we were just seen as terrorists and barbarics and oppressed and all of these things. And I think because of that, we can't really advocate on a platform that pushes our own, you know, religious interests, or using our religion as our like political and moral compass. And that's something that when I think about, you know, white privilege, that's what Christianity gives. There is a certain privilege for that religion where they can push things because of their religion. And yeah, people call them extremists and whatnot, but like, I don't think it's as generalized as with Muslims. Like a woman could be in a hijab and walk out the street, and you don't know if she's the most feminist, left-leaning woman who just wears hijab, or whatever, and but you would still probably, you know, she still is going to face the type of racism from people assuming that she's some sort of extremist. And the reason I brought that up was because I was like, why are the Muslim men like pressed about this issue that is not black and white? And of course, there is a little bit of ambiguity. Why are they so pressed? Like, I think alcohol is very harmful. Like, as Muslims, we do not drink. I think even if I wasn't Muslim, I really don't see it in my character to be someone who would drink, because I hate the idea of like what alcohol does to people and the kind of harm that it's caused and the addictions people have due to it. And yet you don't see Muslims lobbying or petitioning or ever pushing to like abolish alcohol, or like, you know, obviously there was a prohibition area, but like we don't ever push for that. Like, you allow it. You see, you walk into grocery stores and you pay at gas stations that sell it. Like, you've lived amongst it and you've chosen to like kind of ignore it. And this is the issue that you want to like, to me, I feel like it's jumping on the bandwagon of what the Christian right has done. Like, they're the real ones who put in the work for this, and they made this happen. And now some Muslims are just jumping on and saying like, oh yeah, this is exactly what we wanted, and like, we should be celebrating this. And well, you didn't do anything for it. You can't just see what another religion does and then claim it at the end and be like, yeah, I actually think this is something. No, like, if you're gonna own up to it, at least say that you put in the work. You know what I mean? So like, there was no push towards banning things that we as Muslims know are harmful to communities and to society, and that we know is 100% haram. Like, we know alcohol is haram. So why isn't that something that I've never seen a Muslim say, let's work towards banning that? Why? Because it's our religious belief. We are a minority in this country, and there's no way in hell that we're going to change the minds of people and be able to ever pass policy to affect that many people. But the intent isn't even there. It's just you've just accepted it. And now that this has happened, it's like suddenly they want to be more pro-life, quote unquote, the political idea of pro-life, the political movement, I should say, when in reality it goes against the interest of Muslim women. And that is exactly what it does, flat out, like, period. I don't know how else to explain that to people, and I don't know how to, you know, convince people who think otherwise. Okay, on to the next tweet. This one is not from Muslim Twitter, but I thought it was really important because I know someone who posted something like this, and, you know, major eye roll. But this is a woman who posted this. She's pro-life. She says, this is my son. He's 24. I had him at 17. I was told to abort him because I'd be saying goodbye to my 20s, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She goes in to say, he's a husband, a father of two, and a soldier in the U.S. Army. This is life. And someone, quote, retweeted and said, yeah, you made a choice. You were told you had to abort him, and you were able to say no. That's not what I want. What out of that do you not understand? Now, if we made it a law in the U.S. that if your baby had Down syndrome, or if your baby had a defect, or if you weren't going to be able to financially provide for this child, automatic abort, like you had no choice, then that would be an issue. Like, no one is for that, right? Like, that's the whole point of this, you know, abortion debate, is that like, you don't want to restrict the rights of other people, rather you want to guarantee and protect those rights for when that person needs it. And that's what the pro-choice, you know, movement, political movement is. It's to say, for that woman, or the woman that I knew that carried essentially a dying baby in her until that baby was born, or anyone else that you know that made the decision to carry that baby and say, this is what I wanted, that woman had that choice. And any woman who is okay with abortions would absolutely support that woman's decision, because at the end of the day, women should have that bodily autonomy and should have that basic human right over their body to get that medical attention if needed. next tweet. It's actually a thread. This one says, the way so many of these Muslim male scholars, she put male in parentheses, are talking about abortion is so disappointing and misleading, astaghfirullah. They present a conservative opinion up front, but after reading through their articles citing opinions from different schools of thought, you see all the leniency and nuance, including the frequency cited opinion that abortion before 120 days is unconditionally permissible and after is conditionally permissible. Now, I am reading someone's tweet, so I know that there's a lot of like back and forth on like the little details of it. You can find different scholars saying different things online. So again, this is Islam. You have to basically take what you think applies best to you in instances where it's very nuanced. I'm not sure if there is a frequently cited opinion that abortion before 120 days is unconditionally permissible. That I'm not sure of, and I'm from my understanding that it still has to be a condition or a reason. It just isn't as extreme as past the 120 days, in which I think only the mother's life is permissible, or for to save the mother's life, it's permissible. But they will tweet that Islam is anti-abortion, making what is halal haram, astaghfirullah, or focus on tone. Policing liberal Muslims, assuming their thoughts are based on emotion and not research. Where is the energy for people who justify domestic violence or child abuse? Additionally, these scholars are arguing that anti-abortion laws open doors for other haram practices like assisted suicide. This is already legal in several states, and the overturning of Roe v. Wade isn't going to change that. Have they considered that this may actually open doors to further infringements on other Islamic rights, like our rights to contraception or miscarriage care? So if we're worried about these slippery slopes, why is the focus not on preserving the reproductive rights of Muslim women? I wonder. So, interesting take. Again, the idea of the slippery slope can be quite dangerous, because we do live in a Western world, and for the most part, a lot of the ways that we live our lives is different from like the general public and what maybe non-Muslims or how they practice. It's all about choice at the end of the day. That slippery slope can also come back and bite us in the butt, and it could end up being our rights that are being infringed upon, and the way that we choose to practice be affected. And I think it is scary when you have the idea of contraceptives being affected for women. And you know, some men might not like to hear this, but the reality of it is, and as a woman, it just feels like it's always things that we need or we have to deal with that's being discussed and debated, and generally by men, which I think we're used to. Even as Muslims, I think we find that most of our issues are being discussed and dissected and debated and decided on by other Muslim men. And so, yeah, it gets a little frustrating. So sometimes we might have to, or might be willing to, take that slippery slope in order to protect our own rights. And again, we live in a non-Muslim country. Like, we're not going to live in a place where, you know, Sharia law is going to be the practice around us. Like, it is what we have at home. We try to practice as much of the Sharia at home with what we can and can't do. But I think the idea to think that, you know, we would want to somehow influence all these other areas, we're not. We're just looking at what the Christian right is doing, and if it sounds like it's in line with our beliefs, then we're willing to jump on that bandwagon and help. But I also think that, like, you're emboldening a group of people that don't have our best interest. They don't have our best interest as immigrants. They don't have our best interest as Muslims. They don't have our best interest as people of color. And they don't have our best interest as women. So I think, you know, to sacrifice all the good that we could do as a community outside of their beliefs in order to get three or four things that are in line with our deen, that's a debate on whether or not that's worth it. Because I'm sure that the other side could be argued, you know, when it comes to the extreme left, So where do we Muslims fall, and like, how do we navigate this political world when we talk about, you know, voting and how we would like to see, you know, policies be enacted? And I think for me, it's always just been more so, even if my dean says one thing, you know, I obviously, as a devout Muslim, like, I want to practice things a certain way, and I want to live my life in this dunya, making sure that I am investing in my akhirah. And Islam is not an all or nothing religion. You know, people have their ups and downs and they go through certain things, but I think that, you know, you have to just really focus on the core of what our religion teaches us and what our, you know, practices are. But the idea of removing rights away from people because of my religious beliefs is something that I struggle with a lot. It's just, for me, at the end of the day, as long as you're not harming someone, I'm not going to put too much thought or, like, effort. I would not put effort into stopping something that other people might have a right to or should have a right to just because of my religion. Because one day the table could be turned on me. I just think that it's, when it comes to removing rights away from people for the sake of, you know, someone's religious beliefs, it's just not right. Because in this case, we see that, you know, one group is imposing their religious view, and now everyone has to abide by this. And there are Jews and there are Muslims that do not have that view, and they can't, you know, live their life that and have their religious freedom and do things that is in line with their own religion. Politics is a mess, guys. Like, I studied American politics, American government, when I was in college, and I loved it. It's a little bit of a simpler time back then, before the Trump days, but it's very frustrating. You know, we have this old constitution, and people just feel like, I feel like people would probably protect that document more than they would, like, a religious text. I know us as Muslims, our Quran has never been changed, alhamdulillah. And, you know, that's obviously the word of God. But, like, this is man-made document. A document that once said women didn't have rights and that black people were not only slaves, but then seen as two-thirds of a person. And that's the document that we want to keep alive, and that's the document we want to keep to translate over to this modern world that is, like, heavy with technology. And, like, when we try to sit there and try, when we try to sit there and think about how, you know, we regulate the tech industry, and, like, these, they just go back to the Constitution and the same Bill of Rights. And I just feel like, why haven't we adapted to our times? It's been so long, and the same words that were written in the 1700s exist today. And it's so frustrating. It's frustrating, sad, and funny at the same time, to be honest. It's a trio of emotions. But yeah, it's been an interesting week. You know, I was kayaking when I heard the news. I got off the kayaks, I got the little vibration on my phone, and it just said it. And, you know, I think it was better that the, you know, this decision was kind of leaked ahead of time, because it kind of settled into everyone that there was a shock, but not like a big shock, like if we didn't know about it from before. And yeah, I told the people I was with around me, and they were all shocked. And I was like, oh, it really did happen. I am lucky to live in a state that we already have laws set in place to protect women's rights. And yeah, we'll see what the future holds. Anyways, I'm going to check out. Hope this was enjoyable of me reading tweets. I think there's still a few more, but maybe I'll save them for a conversation I have, you know, with a friend or something. I have a feeling this is going to be a recurring conversation. I don't think I've talked about abortion before on my podcast, but this is a hot take. Anyways, I'm checking out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you guys on the next one.